The following is general advice only and should not be construed as accounting, legal, or any other professional advice. The details of your situation are fact-dependent, and you are advised to seek the help of a competent professional. What's happening, everyone? Making the CPA exam far more exciting than it should be. Welcome to CPA Reviewed, the podcast of another71.com. I am your host, Jeff Elliott. Today is Tuesday, December 6th. Well, let's back up a little bit. I hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving. In the last podcast, it was the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and let's just say that I bet your Thanksgiving was better than mine. So there's this thing called the flu, and apparently, chances are that if your household has seven people living in it, your chances of someone getting the flu increase dramatically, and then we're all dominoes from there. So yeah, pretty much didn't go anywhere for Thanksgiving. And the most adventurous thing I did was I went to the grocery store the night before Thanksgiving, and wouldn't you know it, they were fresh out of turkeys. So I got to smoke a ham, so that's great. But anyway, hope you had a great Thanksgiving, and I hope that everyone enjoyed college football matchups the last 2 weeks. And we all watched them with the hope that they actually meant something in terms of the bowl championship series, but no, pretty much not. It's all about money. Not that I'm bitter that my alma mater, Kansas State, did not make it to a BCS bowl game when we were 10-2, but hey, that's how it goes, right? Something like that. All right, well, let's talk about score release. Someone asked me on Facebook the other day, facebook.com/another71, give a little plug. They said, hey, how is the AICPA doing as far as their proposed timetable on when we're going to see our scores? And actually, the timeline that they put out, which you can see at another71.com, click on score release info and you'll see that. And the AICPA has been spot on with their own predictions about when they were going to put the score releases out. So congrats on the AICPA being 3 for 3 so far. So that means that if you were listening to this on Wednesday, December 7th, that means scores should be coming out today. If all goes as planned. All right. Well, we have not done a show for 2 weeks. And hey, I got an email from Karen this week. Karen said, hey, what about the podcast? So Karen, congratulations on being listener number 3. So here we go. Oh, it would help if I clicked the right thing here. Okay. We have a lot of questions today, and I hope I get to all of them. Anne writes, I just recently figured out that my study materials expire in March. When I ordered them, I didn't know they had an expiration date. Yeah. At this point, I haven't passed any of the exams, and I'm starting to get very frustrated. My main question is, do you have any recommendation on what study materials are good but not too expensive? Well, as a rule of thumb, I don't plug any review courses on this show, and because my personal opinion is that what someone thinks is great, someone else will not, and it's all about the how the course speaks to you. And something to, okay, if you are searching for study materials, it's very important to find out, okay, if I'm going to drop like the equivalent of a nice cruise or the equivalent of a nice cruise where I take my significant other plus another couple and pay their whole way. If you're going to drop that kind of cash, you need to find out, hey, does this product that I purchased, is it a ticking time bomb? Does it expire after X number of months? You need to find that out. And if it does expire, what types of hoops do you have to jump through in order to get a free update or B, a discounted update? And so, you know, if you have to cross your fingers, hold your breath, look to the east and recite the Greek alphabet backwards, before you get a discount. Oh, and you have to have done 8,000 multiple choice questions and submit your screenshot, blah, 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 blah. That's something to consider, isn't it? Oh, I'm blowing up. Oh. Yeah, okay. Well, we'll just... I have Radiohead as my ringtone. So to answer your question, if you want inexpensive yet effective, I would get Wiley CPA review books, and I would get the Wiley online test bank. Of course, I'm biased because I sell it, but I also think it's excellent. And I would also get the Ninja notes. And yes, I am biased because they're mine, but I get emails all the time from people that said, hey, I finally passed using your Ninja notes. I got an email from a guy this week who went from like a 68 to a 90 on auditing. And what he did was he had the Ninja notes and he read them for an hour every night before he went to bed. So if you want inexpensive but effective, there you go. Micah writes, I graduated in 2005 with a BS in accountancy in a university in the Philippines. I need to get my transcripts evaluated by an accredited organization. Then they will forward the evaluation to the board, I assume. Okay, to the board. I'm choosing California because that's where I live. I also understand it takes 6 to 8 weeks before they are done with the evaluation. How will I know that they have forwarded the evaluation? Is that when I apply for the exam? I don't know that. I would call the California Board of Accountancy and get the word straight from the California Board. Sorry, I wasn't not very get much help on that one. Other than, it's always best to go straight to the source, as a rule of thumb. Josh writes, I have two DUIs from 2001 that were taken care of. I've passed the exam, completed the experience requirement, and have had no trouble since those incidents. I received a notification from NASBA that my file was under review. Is this going to slow down obtaining my license, or are they likely to deny my application? Well, I don't know. I mean, I would think that the whole DUI deal, that's probably a state board issue, because NASBA does not license you. Whatever state you are going to hold yourself out as a CPA, that is the state that licenses you. And I'm sure that different states have different rules for DUI and other related felonies. But I would definitely call your state board of accountancy and ask them what's up. Oh man, I'm gonna blow this one. Nishiski, I'm sorry. I'm laughing at myself, my ignorance. How do I use the Ninja Notes? Well, Ninja Notes can be used in conjunction with any review course or no review course. You can use them studying with the Wiley book and Wiley software if you want. You don't have to have videos. But a lot of people use a video review course, and a lot of people use the Ninja Notes in conjunction. I recommend taking notes while you're watching videos, even if your course is having you highlight stuff. I still recommend taking notes because actually writing something down means a lot more to you than coloring on a piece of paper. So people usually do one of two things. If they are note takers, then they will take notes while during their videos, and then they will review for the Ninja Notes and use the Ninja Notes as some sort of a quote cram type product. They look over them several times before their exam. Or number two, I get emails from people who hate taking notes. It's bad enough for them to watch their boring CPA exam videos, and taking notes feels like they're being waterboarded. So what they do is they print out the Ninja Notes and they write their own little notes in the margins. And then when it's all said and done, instead of rewriting their notes, because they didn't really take notes, they rewrite the Ninja Notes, which is an excellent idea. And again, NINJA is an acronym. Ninja is a study acronym. It's a framework that I developed, and you can read more at another71.com/50-things. And that's the CPA exam survival guide, and that is free. Gunther writes, I graduated with my master's in accounting in May 2010. I want to pass all four parts as fast as I can. I have a full-time job of 45 hours and a very tight budget. I need to know what materials to buy, how many hours to put in each section, and in which order to take them in and when to study. Again, if you're going to buy a full video CPA review course, just Google CPA review and you'll see several courses. Now keep in mind, if a course ranks high for the term CPA review, it only means that their website has a high level of search engine optimization. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's because a bunch of people use the course. So keep that in mind. So click through the first couple of pages of the term CPA review, and you will see several courses. I would go to each one and watch their demos. And whichever one, number one, fits your budget, number two, you like the teaching style, I would go with that one. And so you have a very tight budget. That's that. And as far as number of hours to put in, this is an extremely arbitrary recommendation. But without going into each exam, just plan on studying as a rule of thumb, a minimum of 6 weeks, probably 6 to 8 weeks per exam. So maybe 6 weeks for BEC and towards 8 weeks for financial. Again, just arbitrary rule of thumb. Everyone is different. And I think a lot of people have the question, how many hours do I need to study? There is no proverbial magic bullet. You just need, when you've gone through your review course, if applicable, when you've studied your notes, you have rewritten your notes, if that's what you want to do, and you've done a ton of multiple choice questions, which I don't think is negotiable, you need to do a ton of multiple choice questions. Not just what maybe your instructor says to do, you need to do a lot. So you need to do questions in the book, and then follow-up questions in your CPA review software. And when you are pricing CPA exam software, keep in mind that most of your mainstream review courses, they license the questions from the AICPA, which is why you will see a lot of the same questions within many of the same products. So, and some software costs less than others. Catherine writes, I passed all four sections of the CPA exam. Congratulations. I was wondering if the ethics exam also had to be taken within the 18-month window. Great question. Ask your state board of accountancy. They will have, like, because while the CPA exam is a uniform exam, not every state has an ethics requirement, and not every state uses the same ethics requirement. So some states have their own ethics material. Other states use the AICPA ethics material. Call your state board of accountancy. Very important. Ariadne says, I failed financial to 63. I'm sorry if I messed your name up. I'm bad. Multiple choice questions were comparable, and I bombed the simulations. So he scored a 63. I just finished going through my review course again. I don't feel ready. I've considered changing courses. In your opinion, how should I tackle this material? Well, okay, if you scored a 63 with financial accounting and reporting, and if you feel like you put in 110%, like you really did your due diligence, and you just, I mean, I'm running out of cliches and metaphors to describe how awesomely ready you were for exam day. But if you were ready and you just felt like you gave all that you could and you scored a 63, you need to switch courses, period. If you kind of, you know, did what I did a few times and just kind of showed up, then you need to give your course another chance. So, Jeff writes, during my financial exam, my computer shut down. After it was restarted, I was assured by the employee at the test center that none of my tests would be lost. I felt very confident about my exam. I received my score of a 69 today, which was a shock because I felt like I knew most of the material. Is there a possibility the computer outage had anything to do with my failing score? It is possible, for sure. But it's too late, I believe, because normally what happens is, let's say that your computer shut down and you felt like it materially affected your ability to perform on your exam. So you contact candidate care. They look at your test log and they're like, yeah, Jeff, yeah, we see that things are totally janked up. Here are your two options. They will say, number one, you can accept your exam as it is and roll the dice. They won't say roll the dice, but roll the dice and see what happens. And whatever your score is, you accept that. Or number two, they will give you a free retake, but you will never know what you scored. And I know this probably doesn't make you feel any better, but in your case, I feel like you did the right thing because you left there feeling very confident about the exam. And so if you were feeling confident about the exam, I would not take them up on their offer to give you a free retake, but you never find out your score. So did it affect you? Possibly. Is there anything you can do about it now? Probably not. I'm very, very confident that you are out of luck, but I would just study again. Don't cut any corners. Don't think that you're, quote, a cram away from passing. Go through your full review course again. Kill it. Be done with it. Jonathan writes, I failed financial for a second time. I scored a 70 in May and a 69 again in November. I'm not too concerned about my ability to pass it, but curious as to what route you would take from here. I qualified for my reviews, retake. They said what it is. I'm not going to say it. So basically the course will give them a free redo. So I can get the 2012 software and book at a reduced rate. Do you recommend getting the new materials or using the 2011 material to rock my multiple choice questions for 2 months? If it's relatively affordable and if you can close your eyes and enter your credit card information and do it again without hating life, I would get the updated materials. You know, there were some changes in 2011, specifically July of 2011. So your 2011 CPA review course, which may have been recorded or printed in maybe October through December of 2010, if you don't have the update for mid-July, then your materials are outdated. So if it's affordable, get the 2012. Mike writes, I took all four sections of the exam between July of 2011 and September of 2011. I passed financial, regulation, and BEC, and I failed auditing with a 72. That's pretty good. I studied hard again and felt more prepared than the first time around. And I used Wiley's Test Bank and hit 75% on my questions for 5 or 6 full-length practice tests. I got my score today, another 72. I've targeted July to retake auditing. Where should I go from here? Should I be okay using 2011 materials in the first window of 2012? If your materials are updated as of July 2011, I think you're good to go. My rule of thumb, and it's arbitrary, is that if you're hitting like 75% on your multiple choice questions, that you're ready. However, I am not a proponent of doing practice exams. I say, okay, you're studying for auditing. So you do 20 multiple choice questions over a specific topic, say internal control. And the first time you roll through those, you score a 60. You do it again. And you're reading the answers, and really each question provides 4 learning opportunities why one question is right and the others are wrong, and you're reading the answers. The second set of 20, you score a 75. At that point, I would move on to your next section. Let's say it's auditing with technology, and just repeat. So I personally think that doing practice tests are a waste of time, because I think you can use those intensive multiple choice sessions to really shore up your weaknesses, because you're doing it in study mode, you have that instant feedback. And so because you're doing it by specific sections, so you're focusing on internal control, some of the answers in internal control question one, the little fact nuggets that you learn in question one from the 4 answers will help you maybe on question 5 and 6. And then you start, it's this snowball. You start to build up this arsenal of little fact nuggets. And pretty soon you're killing it with a 75 to 80%. So don't do practice exams. Ozzy writes, I passed my last section audit with an 86 with the help of your ninja notes. What now? And honestly, no one has ever written in that said, hey, your ninja notes suck and I failed with a 46. If someone does write that in, I will read it on this program, assuming that they're not a troll. Or they're trolling. Go to YouTube and search for internet troll. It's, I think College Humor puts it out. It's kind of funny. But what now? How or when do I get that big, nice certificate that I can post on my wall? Okay. When you pass your last section of the exam, what is going to happen normally is NASBA. Normally, I guess when you pass an exam section, they don't send you something in the mail. They only send you like that little paper that says, hey, you suck. So, and I'm just joking, Nez, but don't hate me. That's just a joke. No, they send you this little thing that says, you failed. It's like printed out on something that looks like from one of those printers that where you have to like tear the sides off of it. Anyway, this is a dot matrix printer. There you go. And, so what NASBA does is instead of sending you the packet, they send your, hey, you're awesome packet to your state board of accountancy. Then your state board of accountancy serves as the middleman and then sends you your, hey, you're awesome packet to you in the mail, maybe like 4 to 6 weeks later. What you can do to expedite the process is while you're waiting on your, hey, you're awesome packet, you go to your state board of accountancy's website, find the, hey, I'm awesome, I passed link, and likely they have some PDFs that you need to fill out to get your certificate. Each state is different, but fill those out. If you have to have your boss sign off on them or whatever, just do that and send them to your state board of accountancy. They will likely arrive there before your board of accountancy even sends you anything, or maybe they'll cross paths in the mail. And then that speeds up the process, and chances are your state board of accountancy certificate will underwhelm you. You work your butt off to pass this exam, and then you get this piece of this certificate in the mail. And I was kind of pissed when I passed because my certificate was bent. I was like, okay, thanks. So I said to the little framing company, he's like, hey, you see that top part of the certificate that's bent? Can you please make sure the frame covers that? But if you join the AICPA, which I recommend that you do because you get really good discounts on CPE, which I personally use. Your AICPA certificate is huge, and it will dwarf your Board of Accountancy certificate. So I hope that's beneficial. Amber writes, I started studying for the CPA exam in May of 2009, and I failed all four sections multiple times. I found out I scored a 69 on audit, and I can't get myself together. I know I need to buckle down and just get it done, but I don't know what to do. I've used the same review program through this process, but my second round of it expires in a few weeks. I guess they mean that their review course expires. I postponed financial to take it January 3rd. Should I try different study material or just buck up? Well, my guess is, I mean, even if it's not your review course's fault because you just haven't been putting it into time, I still think you need to get a new review course because you've been staring at the same books and materials and instructors for the last 2 or 3 years, and you've seen the video so many times, you can almost... You notice that their hair has thinned over the last 3 years. And so that's not good. So you're tired of staring at the same guy or girl, I suppose, lady, woman. This is a politically correct show. So so yeah, you need to get a new review course, if nothing else, for motivational purposes. So you pull your... over expensive and underproduced videos out of the box, pop them in your DVD player and, or USB, whatever you use, and start new. And I think mainly what you need to do is just forget the last 2 years and say, okay, I am going to pass this exam in 2012 and the rest is prologue. Here we go. Tom writes, I want to pass the CPA exam before I get my job about 20 months from now. I'm in the process of giving my approval to sit from California, but I'm also in the midst of my first year of a full-time MBA. I know it's ambitious to do this concurrently, but that's why I'm writing you. is it a decent strategy to start to study for regulation and then study and take BEC? If I pass reg, go on to financial, and if not, take reg again and then take audit last. My reasoning is that if my worst case scenario comes around, I will lose reg credit due to time, which isn't as bad as losing financial. I didn't quite understand your timeline, but I would start with financial first, because you want your 18-month window to start when you pass one of the harder exams, which in my opinion is financial first, then auditing. All of the exams are hard, very hard. And the pass rights, I said pass rights. Sound like I'm an SEC fan. So you want to take financial and auditing, pass those before you move on to regulation and BEC. Not that regulation and BEC are necessarily any easier, but you really want to get financial out of the way. The boost before your time bomb starts ticking. Terry writes, I just received my notice of schedule for financial last week. My original plan was to take the exam at the end of May. That's a long time. Okay. Now that seems so far away. I agree. And I'm wondering if it's possible to successfully take the exam at the end of February instead. Yes. I want to know if it's realistic to find enough study hours. I work full-time at a small CPA firm and prepare taxes. I'm married with 2 children, ages 7 and 4. My goal is to have all exams sections passed before the holidays next year. What would you do? Excellent question. Yes. Putting off till May is way too long. Okay, so today is December 6th. You start studying for financial, let's say, today. You take financial mid-January. When I worked in tax, I worked 2 tax seasons before I realized that tax season sucked. No, I actually learned that tax season sucked from the first required Saturday that I had to roll in there, and they made me wear business casual on a Saturday. That's retarded. Stupid. Okay. So you take financial mid-January, mid to late January. So we'll say like the 23rd-ish. And then you take BEC at the end of February. Because things don't, we all know. Clients are lazy. Of course, there's the big 1099 push, and that sucks. So, of course, the 1099 push won't happen until like the last week of January. And so you knock out financial before the big 1099 push. And then there's this lull where your clients are, they just forget about taxes. And then they start bringing all the stuff in March and definitely in April. Maybe February is still a little bit of a down month as far as tax season goes. Of course, you have the required hours, but in January and February, just the mood is a little bit lighter than March and April, when your boss is like, his hair is falling out and his 80s style mustache hasn't been groomed since December. So yes, you can knock this exam out by the holidays next year for sure. And there you go. Happy writes, I'm struggling on whether I should use the 2012 study materials. I took BEC and applied to take regulation, financial, and auditing in 2012. Currently, I have 2010 study materials for all parts. I'm wondering if it's better to buy the 2012 material or if it's okay to use 2010 material for 2012 exams. With all the law changes, I'm not sure if my material is up to date. What do you think? Well, your 2010 materials were recorded or written in 2009. So what you need to do is be a big smart aleck and rip the pages of your 2010 10 books out and use them as wrapping paper for your 2011 Christmas gifts. Yeah, we say Christmas here on this podcast, as I have no idea what the holidays are. But again, I'm not politically correct. So yes, do not use 2010 materials, period. Rip them up, burn them, donate them to your, well, I would say donate them to your public library, but that would do the next person wanting to get cheap exam materials a disservice, because they're just going to end up spending more on another notice of schedule when they fail. So, yeah, throw them away, burn them, blow them up, shoot them up. There you go. Jimmy writes, assuming you had a full month of December to study full-time for BEC and auditing, and you had to take these two tests in January, how would you go about preparing for both at the same time? Would you suggest studying all of BEC first and then moving to auditing, or study both simultaneously? Wow. All right. I would not study for both at the same time. I would study for auditing first, take the exam as early in January as practicable. Is that a word? As possible. Basically, take the exam when you're ready, but don't be a slowpoke about it. So be quick, but don't hurry. And then take BEC. I can't tell from your email exactly what type of scenario you're looking at, but if it's possible for you to take auditing in early January, say like January 5th, January 5th, and then, this is not ideal, but really crank it from January 6th through the end of January to take BEC. If you must take them all in January, or if you like have some situation where your credit is expiring like January 23rd, well, then you even have less of a window to operate from. So then what you do is, I know it's easier to take your foot off the gas here in December when you're not feeling that pressure quite yet. In 3 weeks you will. But if you envision what your life's going to be like mid-January, and maybe try to dole some of that out here in December. So if you know in January you're going to be getting up at 4 a.m. and life's going to be hell, maybe you kind of split the difference. And so here in December, you get up at 5:30. And so instead of getting up at 4 a.m. in January, you're getting up at 5:30 in January, because you're getting up at 5:30 now in December. And you do not have permission to take like a whole week off during December, because you're feeling nostalgic and seeing all of your friends from back home, and because It's a Wonderful Life is on, and Christmas lights are pretty. No. You have to put in your requisite time with friends and family and loved ones, but when you're not intentionally investing your time, your butt isn't, I would say your butt is in a book, but your butt is in a chair and your nose is in a book. All right. I think I'm going to answer one more question, and then we'll call it good for this podcast. And I have several more questions, but we'll knock it out maybe again later this week. All right. Divya asks, I failed audit 2 times with 73 and 74. The last time I set for audit, I rewrote my notes and practiced all of the multiple choice questions and simulations again. I scored an 80 and an 85 on my mock exam. I don't know what to do differently this time. I've been weaker and simulations both times. That's normal. I have until April 30th, 2012 to pass BEC and auditing, after which my financial score expires. I passed BEC in 2010, so I did not have any written communications on the exam that time. How should I schedule both exams within this period? Which one should I take first, and what do I do differently for the audit exam? Well, what can you do differently? Well, number one, what you need to do is do exactly what you did before leading up to that, because even though you scored a 73 and 74, don't give in to the temptation to think that you're 2 to 3 points away from passing, because you're not. If you decide that you're going to go in there and give the old college try and think you're going to score an 80. That's not going to happen. You're going to score a 60. So you repeat the process that you did to score a 73 or 74. But, and then you said that you rewrote your notes. That's great. If you don't have the Wiley online test bank, get that, because you want to be looking at different multiple choice questions versus the ones that you've seen 1,000 times before. Now you scored 80 and 85 on a mock exam. Don't waste your time doing mock exams. That's like 3 or 4 hours of your time. That's just, I mean, it's not wasted, but it's not as efficient or effective. So that's not good. So do more multiple choice questions, do them in study mode. Yeah. There's a lot of quote cram type products out there on the market. So when you're done with your full review course, maybe go on to the another71.com forum and ask, hey, what cram course did you use for BEC and audit? You'll get 1,000 different answers. Some people will be more passionate than others, and, pick one that matches your budget and you think matches your learning style and can complement the current course that you are using. Now, as far as which section should you take first, well, and then also how do you do this? So January, so you study for audit now. You take, gosh, okay, you study for audit now, and then you take it mid to late January. Then you take BEC. March is a blackout month, which your financial credit, financial credit expires April 30th. So if you fail either one, you're going to have one more try. And that's in the month of April. So that's good. So hopefully you won't have any, but then if you do, then you have that 1 month of cushion for a retake. All right, well, that does it for this edition of CPA Reviewed. I hope I've been helpful. If you have a question or comment, you can leave them at Ask Jeff. Go to another71.com. Click in the upper right-hand corner for Ask Jeff, and I will get your message, and it will appear in an upcoming podcast, and I will try to answer that as soon as possible, or you can go to facebook.com/another71 and ask it there. Thanks again, everyone. Good luck on score releases, and I'll talk to you soon.